Welcome to Startup Nation Voices, a podcast of Startup Nation Mentorship and the World Jewish Congress. Startup Nation Mentorship pairs extraordinary college students with top Israeli industry and government mentors. The venture is currently operating on 20 campuses in 6 continents and enables students to develop meaningful, lasting relationships with Israelis who are in the center of the dynamic global economy and hub of innovation. In Voices, we are bringing on top Israeli and international leaders to share a deeper look into their industry and personal background, exploring the importance of mentorship and partnership with Israel. I'm Nikki Chesed, the U.S. Director of Startup Nation Mentorship.
And I'm Adam Shapiro, the founder and chairman of Startup Nation Mentorship. It is such a privilege to welcome Ynon Landenberg onto Startup Nation Voices. Now, this is a fascinating bio. So Ynon is founder, dreamer, and doer at SFBI, also known as Small Factory Big Ideas. SFBI works with brands, entrepreneurs, and startups to create a new human-centric design model in business. Ynon is the founder and dad at Bosco, and founder and son at the Caring App. Ynon is also president of Infinity Augmented Reality, the first augmented reality software platform to connect universally with digital eyewear, smartphones, tablets, smart TVs, and connected cars. Mr. Landenberg is also the chief commercial marketing officer of Space.io and also co-founded and led eTheLogic, Israel's first interactive advertising agency, which was founded in 1999 and acquired in 2001. The firm launched revolutionary campaigns for leading companies such as Coca-Cola, Mazda, Ford, JDate, Nestle, and other Fortune 500 companies. Ynon, thank you so much for joining us today. We're very excited to have you on.
Same here. I was afraid that with this long intro, we won't have time for the content.
Nothing to worry about. We have some great questions prepared. So with that being said, our first question for you is, why were you not satisfied with taking a stable, high-paying tech job that most people dream of?
I'm not so sure that I wasn't satisfied. The main problem I had is that no one wanted to hire me. So when I graduated the military service and I went to look for a job, I tried to work in several internet companies in the early days of the internet, and they didn't want to hire me. They said that I'm a troublemaker. I don't know. Yeah, well, today I understand. I wouldn't hire myself as well. So no one wanted to hire me, and I had no other option except of starting companies and hire myself.
Can you walk us and our viewers through your current ventures, SFBI, Bosco, and the Caring App?
Okay. So SFBI is like a self-incubator that I develop ventures out of it. And Bosco and the Caring App are actually two services of a company that I established that is called The Caring Company. The Caring Company is a company that is, its mission is to help caregivers. And we are trying to bring some more peace of mind for caregivers on the day-to-day of the people they care for. Our first product was Bosco. Bosco is an app that you install on your kid's phone and on your own phone. And we analyze the data from the kid's phone and present it to the parent when there are problematic issues on their phone. I started working on this venture for my own need. I'm a father of 3 kids, and I understood that childhood has totally changed in the last 25 years. Of course, also parenthood. I understood that all the services that are out there from the field of the parental control are not relevant for the way that I'm trying to educate my kids today. I'm not trying to block them. I'm not trying to lock them in the room. I don't think I can be better than my kids on technology. They are definitely much better than me. We developed a solution that is collecting data from the kid's phone without hiding it from the kid, analyzing it on very advanced analysis tools, of course, operating on AI and machine learning platforms, and presenting it to the parents. So we are analyzing text, including encrypted messaging like WhatsApp, WeChat, whatever. We are analyzing images to deal with the problematic issues of a lot of kids sending nude images of themselves to their friends, analyzing the behavior of the kids based on their usage of apps, location, social media. One of the things we learned from the research we conducted with the Bradford University is that when kids today want to threat one another, they don't say, "I'm going to beat you up." They say, "I'm going to unfollow you." And the fact that someone is unfollowing a child on Instagram is like someone beat them up. So when more than three friends unfriended your child in the last 3 hours, you will get an alert from us. It means that a cyberbullying attack is starting around the child. We are predicting all kind of edgy behaviors, like kids thinking about talking, thinking about suicide, anorexia, all kind of things like that. We are analyzing also their tone of voice to know when they are afraid, terrified, stressed, only by tone of voice, regardless what they're talking about. So this is Bosco. We have already 500,000 users around the world. South America, Southeast Asia, a little bit Israel, a little bit Europe, a little bit US, and definitely in this corona times, we are jumping. Our second product is a product that we call it the Caring App. The Caring App is a solution for me to know what's going on with my parents. Part of the dramatic change we had in the last 25 years in the world is that 25 years ago, the average age that our parents started to produce kids was much lower than our age. Today you can see a lot of young couples that their first child is born when they are 32, 34, 36, while in the past it was between 20 to 24 years old, the first child. So what happened, and this is how you call it in the U.S., is that both of you are going to be sandwich generation. When you are going to have teenager kids, your parents are going to be elderly already. This is exactly why we developed the Caring App, and the Caring App is the same platform like Bosco. We are not analyzing the same things like text or image, but we are analyzing location to know if my father is in a safe place. We are analyzing the mood by tone of voice to know if he's stressed or terrified. We added all kinds of functionalities like a SOS alert button, swiping from the top, or activated by voice. They can say help, and it automatically creates a call. We analyze if they fell down in the street. We have all kind of functional things like reminders to take pills, or I can unmute my father's phone from a distance in the morning if he forgot to unmute his phone. And then we have emotional support, like tone detection to know about their mood, but we also have like a cool feature where my father can put his hand on his phone, my daughter can put her hand on her phone, and she can feel his heartbeat from a distance. So we translate his heartbeat.
That's incredible.
So the Caring App is an app that we just started launching now. Our big first launch is going to be in Japan in a few weeks, and then we're going to the US, to Europe, market after market. Normally, we will work with partnerships. So our business model is based on a $6 a monthly subscription, but we're working on a B2B2C model. So we will find a mobile operator, an insurance company, a VAS service operator, someone that will distribute us in a local market. And this is how we are doing our distribution. So in this company, I'm the founder and dad in Bosco and son in the Caring App.
Amazing. So much to be proud of and really, really just unbelievable. So, you know, we mentioned a little bit about Space.IL and clearly, you know, Space.IL has made a big splash on the global stage. So can you talk to us
about... A big splash on the moon.
On the moon as well, definitely. But can you just tell us about your involvement with Space.IL? How did it start? A little bit about the organization for some of our audience that may not be so familiar.
Okay, so Space.IL started at around 2010, in the end of 2010. And back then I had Ideologic, which was a digital marketing agency, the biggest in Israel, and we worked a lot globally. And two of the founders of Space.IL came to me and told me that they are building a spaceship and they're going to land it on the moon. And they're doing it for educational purpose. And they need some marketing to raise money, to raise funding, to get more people involved. And they were sitting in my big office and talking about landing a spaceship on the moon. And I asked them, do you know how to build a spaceship? They said, oh, you know, NASA builds spaceships. It can't be so complicated. So I said, okay, let me understand a little bit more. And for me, for a long time, I decided that anything I do around nonprofit and volunteering will only involve with the future. You know, it's like the past is the past and the current situation of people, you know, that are miserable, what can I do? But the future is something that I can help to change. And the future is kids. When they came to me and they told me that their main purpose is to motivate young people in Israel to study science and technology, I said, okay, I'm joining you. And we started working on that. We started with all kind of efforts to get some more attention from the public, doing like an Indiegogo campaign, a Kickstarter campaign to raise some funding. We did some roadshows in the U.S. in all kind of Jewish schools. We participate in the Israeli parade in New York. We didn't really succeed to get the Americans interested in what we're doing in the beginning. Of course, it was a little bit crazy to think about these three young engineers that are going to build a spaceship that will land on the moon and we'll win the Google Lunar X Prize competition. It didn't sound rational, but slowly we managed to get on board more and more organizations that helped us, like the Israeli Space Association, big donors. Some of them are Americans, like the Edelson family, Khan Foundation, and so on. We managed to be the first one in the competition, in the Google Lunar X Prize competition, to launch its spaceship to the moon. We got also a $1 million prize for that. I can tell you that our mission was the cheapest mission ever to the moon, and of course the smallest mission. It was a very touching moment to launch from Florida about a year and a half ago with SpaceX. You know, I was there with my son. It was like one of the best times of my life. Very touching. You know, we had a very good time. Our mission, since it was the smallest mission ever, we actually had to make a lot of circles around Earth in order to reach the moon, so we don't need to use a lot of energy. And we can use like a boomerang effect of the gravity of Earth until we reach the moon. It was a flight that was around, you know, the moon is 384,000 kilometers from Earth, around 250,000 miles. And we flew about 6.5 million kilometers. So we took the long ride to the moon. But after about 2 months, we had our moon hopping. Okay, it's a full presentation about what we did there. And in the end, just about 10 kilometers from the moon, after sending a nice selfie image of Bereshit, our spaceship, with the Israeli flag and Am Yisrael Chai, with the moon behind, we had a minor computer program problem. The computer restarted itself, and the spaceship, instead of a soft landing on the moon, we crashed into the moon and left a mark on the moon for the next generation. It was a little bit sad after such a long ride. It was around 9 years. But we managed to reach the whole public in Israel. Everyone knew about the project. Kids were inspired from that. Half of the country woke up at 3 a.m. In Israel to see the live launch. And all the newspapers followed the journey day by day by day by day. So a day after we crashed into the moon, we announced that the next lesson, if the first one is dream big and you can accomplish whatever you want, as an impossible is only I'm possible, our next lesson will be, don't give up. If you fail in the first time, try again and succeed. So this is what we're doing now. And SpaceIL now is working on the next mission, which will be Bereshit 2. And hopefully you can enter SpaceIL.com and read more and more information about the past mission and the next mission.
Wow, that was incredible. Really like an inspirational story. Thank you. So what would you say has been the biggest challenge that you've faced in your business career thus far?
There are always challenges, you know, really, really depending on, you know, the only time you don't have challenges is when you don't do anything. So then you don't have challenges. But whenever you do something, you have challenges. It would be from funding. The efforts of funding are always problematic, especially in these times. The efforts of hiring a good team is always a challenge. I think the biggest challenge I always had is when, for some stupid reasons, I decided to work with all kind of government institutes. So again and again, I tell myself, never work with them again, never do anything with governments. And, you know, when there is an opportunity, I forget it and do it. Lately, I'm telling myself again, don't work with government institutes. So let's see how long it will last.
Definitely. Very, very interesting. Thank you, Inan. And so our next question for you, really is about the country that you've done a lot of your work in, Israel. So how has Israel as a country and as a nation contributed to your success as an entrepreneur?
Okay. Since a young American Jewish people are going to see this video, I will try to be politically correct and polite. Okay, I'm joking. Israel as an ecosystem is a crazy place. It's the most creative environment. It's the most productive environment. We work very hard here, long hours and a lot of productivity. It's a very challenging ecosystem. A lot of smart people located in a small piece of land, about 23,000 square kilometers. If we're looking on the centers like Haifa, Tel Aviv, Be'er Sheva, and Jerusalem, which is about 10% of the country and most of the population there. So definitely it's a very challenging. But on the other hand, we have a very good education system that is a very open Israeli education system. So you in Israel can challenge everything. You know, it's there is no taboos. If my son thinks that the teacher is wrong, he will tell her she's wrong. With the good sides and the bad sides of that. But the good side is that we are not educated to be robots until we are 18, and then we are told to go and disrupt. We disrupt from day one. And then we have the Israeli kind of college, what you guys do in the college. I don't know. You drink a lot. You have a lot of fun. So in the same time, we go to the military. And then the military shapes us up and gives us a good direction into the future. So I think that the combination of the fact that we challenge a lot of things here in Israel, and we have a very creative environment, and maybe the most important thing is that we are not really afraid of anything. So, you know, okay, so you failed. Did you learn something from that? If you learned something from that, it's worth it. Now go to the next experience. You have a smaller chance to fail because you had already a good lesson. If you failed again, never mind. You learned another lesson? Yalla, let's go to the next one. So we are not afraid to fail. We learn from failures. We have a very supporting ecosystem, not the government, but the ecosystem. So the entrepreneurs, they help one another. Very open, especially when we're working abroad, helping one another in New York, in San Francisco, in everywhere you have Israelis. So it's not necessarily the country, but it's more the ecosystem and the people.
Amazing. So judging from reflecting on your experiences and your successes, what advice would you give to college students who aspire to be successful entrepreneurs and successful in their careers?
First of all, be ready. Prepare yourself for a long ride and a very complicated one. You know, I always say that running a startup is like riding a roller coaster. I don't know. What's the most scary roller coaster now in the U.S.?
Probably the Hulk or something like that.
Okay. Now imagine you are in this roller coaster, but you're on the top and on the bottom on the same time. This is a startup. So it's not like ups and downs. You have ups and downs, but you have also times that you are on the top and the bottom on the same time. And this is when the big challenges are. So you need to be prepared for a very long ride and for a very complicated one. You need to be strong and tough. Don't be afraid of anything. In the worst case, you will fail. If you fail, learn a good lesson and go on. Don't cry about that too long. And, you know, from time to time, I meet entrepreneurs that they come to me and tell me about their idea, and I think it's a stupid idea. So they ask me, what do you think about the idea? So I ask them, do you want me to answer with my head or with my gut? And they say, okay, answer with your head. I say, okay, with my head, close it, go find a real job. It won't succeed. So, okay, with your gut. With my gut, you go on it full power, but decide until when you are going to run on it. Decide about 6 months, about 12 months, and then give up. So the reason why I think you should do it, because, you know, when you fail, you can be sorry for about 2 weeks. You can be sad, you will cry, and then you will go on. But if you have a dream and you didn't try to achieve it, all your life, you will be sorry that you are not Bill Gates, because I had an opportunity to be Bill Gates. I had an amazing idea that I didn't do because Inon told me it's stupid. No, go and fail, cry for 2 weeks, and yalla, let's go on.
Wow. Unbelievable advice, and definitely our audience of people who love entrepreneurship and engagement will certainly take a lot from your answer there. So, thank you again for joining us. It has been such an honor getting to speak with you and have you share your unique wisdom and experiences with our audience of people who really just love global engagement. So we hope to make it back to your beautiful country as soon as possible, and we wish you a Shana Tova.
Thank you so much for having me. Shana Tova, and all the best, and good luck with your studies.
Thank you so much, Inon. It was so nice to meet you and speak with you.
Thank you. Shana Tova.
Shana Tova.